We're starting a new series today called Fire Cloud. About 3 months ago, I woke up one morning and first thing I heard in my head, this only happened to me twice in my life, first thing I heard was a fire by night and a cloud by day. And I knew what that was referencing, and I knew the Lord was speaking to me, and He had something for me that day. And so I got up and did my devotion, and of course, it was totally unplanned. I had a pre-planned devotion. I read it, and guess what it talks about? He led them in a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night. And I began to study that story, one we're going to look at today, and God stirred a lot in me, and I knew He was giving me a sermon for our church. And so you're going to hear that message today. And it's out of Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. And I want us to read these verses together, and then you can have a seat as soon as we're done. It says this, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that way was shorter. This was the road by the Mediterranean Sea. It was the shortest route, but God didn't lead them that way, though it was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Or perhaps I should say they thought they were ready for battle, because God just said, you think you're ready, but you're not ready. So I'm going to lead you the long way around to get you ready for what I have for you. Verse 20, it says, after leaving Succoth, they camped near Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. In verse 22, it says, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. They were coming into a desert place that they would not leave for 40 years. And the scripture says that God's presence manifested in this great fire cloud did not leave its place with the people. I want to talk to you today about the difference between the place and the presence. It's all about the presence. Would you fist bump the person next to you as you're having a seat and tell them it's all about the presence? It's all about the presence. You can have a seat. Amen. The story of the Exodus is the story of God leading His people on a spiritual journey. And there's really three prominent places on this spiritual journey. God is leading His people out of a place of slavery, through a desert place, and into a promised place of freedom. This is the spiritual roadmap for the journey that God is taking His people on still today. And I want to get this roadmap deep down in our souls, because even though the territories that we travel through physically are very different, the spiritual terrain is the same. And so if you would participate with me and just repeat those places with me, would you, right now? Okay, can we do this together, have a little fun? All right, starting out, if you call this fun, I call it fun, y'all might not. Just participate, all right? All right. So God is leading His people out of a place of slavery. Come on, you can say it. Through a desert place, there we go, and into a promised place of freedom. Let's try it one more time. I want us to get this deep down in our soul so that you remember it as you go through life, because you will go through these places on your journey with God. And if you can know the place you're in, it gives you a context to know how to navigate that place. This is your roadmap, okay? God is leading His people out of a place of slavery, through a desert place, and into a promised place of freedom. These are the places on our spiritual journey. Life is a journey. It is not a destination. Would you fist bump your other neighbor and tell him life's a journey? Life's a journey. And these are the places you will travel through on this journey God is leading you on. And it's really important to remember that none of these places are your destination. That's important to remember if you've ever been in a place of slavery, where you're just enslaved to your own selfishness and sin, to know that you're not meant to live there forever. Amen? God is leading you out. You have a good God who wants to take you to a promised land of freedom. It's not a place you're meant to live. It's also important to remember that the desert place is just a place. It's not your destination. Can I get an amen from anybody who's ever been through a desert? Amen. We're not meant to settle down and build a house here, all right? We're just passing through, as the song used to say, right? It's just a place. And then where we're really going is the promised land, right? But it's just as important to remember that the promised land is still just a place. It's not the destination. Because if you think that the promised land is a place, a destination for you, then when you get there, you'll think that you've arrived. And then you'll be tempted to worship the gift instead of the giver, the blessing instead of the blesser. And then you'll become enslaved to idolatry in a place that was meant to bring you freedom. It's just a place. These are the places on our spiritual journey. And that's important to remember. And that is precisely why when God leads you out of the place of slavery, he doesn't lead you directly into the promised land. If only we could do that. Some of you are all like, man, if only I had that horizontal jump. That was amazing. That was at least 10, maybe 7 feet. Wow. God doesn't lead you directly out of slavery into the promised land by the short road, by the way of the Mediterranean Sea, where there's plenty of provision in the port cities. He leads you the long way around, right through the desert, and that's intentional. Remember when it says Jesus was baptized and he's filled with the Spirit, he's like, woo, gonna start my ministry. It says the Spirit led him into the what? The desert. The Spirit of God led Jesus into the desert. The desert is intentional on God's part because it is only in the desert place that you can learn the most important lesson of your life. I remember several years ago when God led us to one of the biggest desert places we'd ever been to. It was a desert place, a barren land called Detroit, Michigan, okay? Just north of Ann Arbor, all right? And man, let me just say, on a day like today with a game like yesterday, it's good to be back, baby, all right? You couldn't celebrate up there. It's like, they won again. Oh, wait, you guys don't care. All right, anyways, it's good to be back. But Detroit was actually nice. It was a nice place. I liked living there. We were in a great part of the city. The people were amazing. It was more the spiritual terrain that was the desert place, okay? And you have to understand, when God was calling me into ministry, this was my first ministry, going to be a worship leader at a church up there. And ministry was a surprise for us, because we went through all of college and got out of college. We were out of college like a year before God led us into ministry. And my wife did not like the idea of our provision being dependent upon the generosity of other people, okay? Especially as proud Americans, right? That's troubling to us to a degree. And so she struggled with that calling. And for about 6 months, I'm like, I'm thinking God's calling me to ministry. I think I'm supposed to quit this job I have, and I think we're supposed to go to ministry. And she just struggled with it. And she wrestled with God, and finally after about 6 months, she surrendered to it. She's like, okay, all right, I'm going to trust God. I know this is God now, and I'm going to trust him on this journey. And so, of course, I get a job in Detroit, Michigan, you know, of all states, the rivalry state, you know. And it was close enough that we could visit family once or twice a year, but it was far enough away that, honestly, most of the time, you're just not going to see your family. Now, I think men are more pre-wired for the mission, okay? And so we don't really care as much to live far from family, you know, if we're honest, stereotypically. And so I didn't care that much that we had to move away. It's like, well, we'll see them once or twice a year. It's all right. That's enough, right? And so, but my wife was pre-wired for relationship. And so this was kind of tearing her heart out. You know, one day, I think eventually some of us men mature in our spirituality and we realize the relationship is the mission. But I wasn't there yet. And so I was like, woo, we're going on a mission with God. Let's do this adventure. Woo, let's move. Let's do this thing. Let's save this city for Jesus, you know. The week we moved to Detroit, watched a news program. It was voted most miserable place to live in the United States. I was like, that's all right. We're bringing the joy of the Lord. We got up there, and my wife had a hard time. I mean, to let you know just a picture of how hard it was for her particularly, we lived there 5 years. And every week for 5 years, 2 to 3 days a week, I would come home and find my wife crying because we didn't live near family. That's not an exaggeration. That is difficult. There's nothing you can do as a husband, you know, to fix that other than move back. You know, there's nothing you can do. And it was really, 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 really a difficult season. And so our first year there was probably the most difficult because, you know, you're learning to deal with separation, you know, and my wife seeing updates on Facebook, and it just hurt. It's just painful to see, you know, people, you know, grandparents spending time with other grandkids, and it's not because they love them more. It's just proximity. They're just there, so let's go spend time with them, you know, and you're not getting that, you know, it's just painful. And so our first year there was probably the worst, and we moved up in January. It was like a foot of snow. It was like literally minus temperatures. You're practically living in Canada. If you just draw a line straight across the top of our country, you're in Canada. You know what I'm saying? And so, anyways, I thought that would be funny. Anyways, yeah, some of you are like, what's wrong with Canada? You know, nothing. It's just cold. And so it was like -6 when we moved up there and you know, foot of snow, and it just kept snowing every other week, just more. And the snow doesn't melt there. It just piles up, you know, and you're just like, oh, my gosh. Everybody's like, this never happens. Lie. It happens every year. All right. Anyways. And so our first year was the hardest, and we're there about a year, and you're coming up on the holidays. And so we're decorating for Christmas. And again, Christmas is what? A time to spend with family. And we're decorating our little apartment, and this thing that's supposed to be fun is actually just painful. It's just a reminder of who's not there. And so we had this little tradition. We still do this. We'll make each other a little handmade Christmas ornament every year. And so I believe this was a God idea that he gave me, to make her an ornament that would hopefully encourage her in this situation. And so I went to Hobby Lobby. I had this idea. I got a little picture frame. It was like 3 inches by 3 inches. I printed out a picture of our family unit at that time, which, believe it or not, we haven't always had 5 kids. And it was just my wife and I and our 2-year-old daughter at the time. Printed out a picture, cut it out, put it in the frame. And then I wrote something. You know, my handwriting's terrible, so I printed it out and cut it out and glued it on the front of that picture frame, made it look all pretty, painted the picture frame. You know, I put a little hanger on it so we could hang it on our tree. And then we exchanged these as gifts. And what I had written on the front of that picture frame was this. It said, home is wherever I am with you. Because I wanted to remind my wife that home was not a place, it's a person. I think we're all really just searching for our home, because home is a place of rest, it's a place of peace, it's a place of joy. Home is the place out of which you live your life. Home is the place out of which you do your work. Home is the place out of which you follow after God's calling. I mean, home is a very important place. And so God leads his people out of slavery, and he leads them directly into a place that no one would ever want to call home, precisely to teach them that home is not a place, it's a person. And God sent me to here to tell some of you today, your home, the home you've been searching for, that place of joy, peace, and rest, it's not a place, it's not a house, It is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. That is your heart's true home. And unless and until you wake up and realize that or experience that, your heart will be restless, as St. Augustine once famously said, "My heart is restless, O Lord, until it finds its rest in thee." God is your heart's true home. And so God has this place where he wants to teach you that, and it's called the desert place. It's an intentional stage on the spiritual journey, and God will not skip it, because there are things that God needs to teach you there that you can't learn in any other place. You see, the conditions of the desert, the environment, is perfectly conditioned to teach you the most important thing, that God and his presence is your home. See, because the desert, first of all, is quiet. And so God will lead you out of the noise of Egypt to get you away from the demands of the slave driver so that you can hear the gentle whisper of your heavenly Father. And he gets them out there. He brings them to a mountain in the desert called Mount Sinai. Another name for it's Mount Horeb. And he surrounds them around this mountain. And Exodus 19 says a thick black cloud falls down on the mountain. And there's a pillar of fire within it. And it's out of this fire cloud of God that he speaks in an audible voice, not just to Moses, but in the hearing of the entire nation. And he speaks his Ten Commandments. He gives the people his word and his ways. He wants to teach them how to hear his voice. Learning to hear the voice of God is one of the most important things that you could ever learn in your life. Not just reading the word, but when you read the word, you listen with your heart. And you hear him speak to you, and you realize the presence is present. So God will lead you into a very, very quiet desert place so you can hear his whisper. But the desert is also a barren place. There's no food or water there. There's no provision. If you've ever been to a desert place and lacking provision, you know how scary that is. You might cry out to God, "God, there's no provision here." And he goes, "I know. That's why I led you here." To teach you that man doesn't live by bread alone, by provision alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so I've brought you into this place where there's literally no bread, and I've spoken a word, then I'm going to create supernatural bread called manna, have it just fall out of the thin air, and that's what you're going to eat. I've brought you into this place where there's no water, and I've told Moses, I'm going to bring water out of that rock to quench the thirst of my people. Why? To teach you that you don't even need provision. You need the provider, and if you have the provider, you'll have the provision, because he is the source of all life. He literally is all you need. And so he'll bring you into a barren desert to teach you about the provider. But the desert is also dark, because you can't travel by day or you would die from heat exhaustion. And so you have to travel at night. Now imagine traveling at night in a desert where there's scarcely any road in the first place, but you don't have modern technology, you don't have a light. And so you can't see where you're going. Okay? Now you have this vague idea that there's this promised place out there, this place flowing with milk and honey, this place of abundance that, man, if you could just get there, that would be everything, you know? But you have no idea how to get there. But God's brought you into this desert place that's so dark, so you can't know how. Because he wants to teach you. You don't need to know how to get there. You just need to learn how to be in his presence. Because if you learn how to be in his presence, he will lead you to where he wants you to go. Think about this. Every single day, it says the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, never left its place among the people. Now, there's a power plant about 20 miles south of where I live, and it has a cooling tower. And you can see a pillar of cloud by day rising from that cooling tower from 20 miles away at my house. Now, 20 miles for them, that's like 2 to 3 day journey. I mean, you would have to intentionally walk away from the community of God, from the people of God, from the presence of God for 2 or 3 days in a row to get to a place where you would not be able to see his presence. So as long as you stayed where he was, you were all right. I mean, if you ever felt like you were lost, maybe you took the sheep out to have them graze or something, and then you're like, I don't know where I am. What's going on? Oh, no, what do I do? All you would have to do is look up and find the fire cloud and then follow that back to where you need to be. And so all they had to do, think about this, in order to get where they were going, they didn't have to know how to get there. All they had to do every single day was get up, walk out of their tent, you know, what's God doing today? It says if the cloud lifted and moved out, they moved out. It says if it stayed put, they stayed put. That's all they had to know how to do. They walk out of their tent. What's he doing today? Oh, he's moving out. Kids, pack the bags. We're heading out. Where are we going? I don't know. We're following the presence. We're keeping in step with the Spirit. What's he doing today? Oh, he's staying put. Settle down, kids. We're staying another day here. They did this every single day. God is teaching them to seek his presence every single day, to wake up, and the first thing on your mind is, where is the presence of God? To seek first the kingdom of God is to seek first the presence of God, to get in the word of God until you get a word from God, to learn to listen with your heart, to pray and express your needs and know that he hears you because you're in his presence. It's called practicing the presence of God. Get up every day, get in the presence of God, and then don't leave it the rest of the day. This was the work of the desert. This is what God was trying to teach them. And the desert was perfectly conditioned to teach them this work because the desert was quiet, the desert was barren, the desert was dark, but in the desert, they literally couldn't do any other work. You ever thought about this? For 40 years, they're in a place where there is no sowing or reaping. There is no planting or harvesting. There's no supplies for them to go gather and build a house and settle down. All they had to do, the only work God gave for them was to build a tabernacle, a place where they could seek his presence. And it only took them about a year. Other than that, do you know what their work was every day? Go out of their tent and gather the manna that God rained down from heaven. I can't imagine that would take an hour. And then come back into your tent and eat it, and you're done for the day. Now, God had given a very specific instruction with the manna. Every single day, just gather enough for that day. If you gather too much, if you gather enough for 2 days, you know, it's going to rot. The extra is going to rot overnight, and you won't be able to eat it, except on the sixth day. On the sixth day, you can gather enough for 2 days so that on the seventh day, you can have a true Sabbath and literally do absolutely nothing. And miraculously, this bread was supernatural because on weekdays, it would go rotten if you had it overnight. But on the Sabbath, it would stay preserved so you could eat it. How is that possible? Because God said so, to teach them, to trust him, to trust his word. And so the work of the desert was to learn how to seek the presence of God, to listen, to trust and obey. Trust and obey. Isn't there like an old song about that? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to get out of this desert, but to trust and obey. That's literally true. You can't work your way out of the desert. And if you try, you'll only find yourself wrestling with God and you'll wear yourself out. So the work is to learn to listen, to trust, and obey. And he'll decide when you get out. And it's usually precisely after you've learned And it's been ingrained in your soul to listen, trust, and obey. And so God will lead you into this desert place to teach you the most important lesson that you could ever learn, that He is your true home, and to teach you how to practice the presence of God every day of your life. You know why? So that you can experience the blessing of being home every day of your life, no matter what place you find yourself in. Because Scripture says, in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is perfect peace. His presence is better than life. So you can even be in a desert place, but if you're in His presence, you don't want to be anywhere else. And you know that you're home. That's why Moses could be on a mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and not want to leave, even though he didn't even have any bread or water, because he was in the explicit presence of God. So God wants to teach you in this desert place how to seek and practice and stay in and keep in step with His presence. This life is full of places, but they're not your destination. There's a purpose in every place. Do you know that? There's a purpose in the place of slavery. Do you know that? Some of you are like, oh, this, I'm in slavery. I'm in bondage. I can't get out of this. This can't be God's will. Do you know God has a purpose in the place of slavery? You know what it is? Misery. That's God's purpose in the place of slavery. To make you so miserable that you're finally willing to trust Him to lead you out of it, even if you know He's going to lead you right into a desert. Do you know what the last straw was for the people of Israel in slavery in Egypt? Do you know what the proverbial straw was that broke the proverbial camel's back for the people of Israel in slavery in Egypt? It was bricks without straw. See, up until that time, they were in slavery, but it was comfortable. They were in slavery, but they had good food. They had fish. They had onions. They had garlic. They were in slavery, but it was kind of pleasurable. It was kind of fun to a degree, you know? You can deal with the pain and suffering because you got stuff you want. And here comes this God. He sends this guy named Moses, say, follow me. And you're like, no, I don't want to. You're talking about going into a desert. There's nothing out there. It's scary. Where are we going? How do I trust you? And what was it that got them to finally be willing and ready to go? Misery. Bricks without straw. The slavery was so miserable that they were finally willing to trust God to lead them out of it. That's the purpose of the place of slavery. Misery. To make you so miserable, you'll finally trust God to lead you out of your sin and selfishness. Even though you know He's going to lead you into a desert. But the desert place has a purpose. It's to teach you to find your heart's true home in God. Teach you how to practice His presence. And here's the beautiful thing. You get a taste of His presence, it'll ruin you for anything else. And then the promised land loses its idolatrous luster. And it's at that precise moment you're ready to enter the promised land. And then you step into the promised land and you realize, oh my goodness, the promised land has a purpose. The purpose God declared in the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, you are blessed and you will be a blessing. You're blessed to steward the blessing of God to help other people experience the presence of God. That's the purpose of the promised land place. See, these are just places. They're not the destination. God is the destination. And so God will lead you out of slavery, but He's not going to take you the shortcut. He'll take you the long way through the desert. And so what C.S. Lewis said is really true, that the long way round is really the shortest way home to find your home in God. And so He'll lead you on the long road to teach you that your destiny is not your destination, to teach you that your calling is not what you were called for. You were called for God Himself. The calling is just what you do for God. The destination is God's heart. The destiny is just what you do with God to help others come to know Him. And so God's calling you today to find your home in Him, whatever place you find yourself in. And you'll never regret it. And so I want to close today by encouraging some of you. I hope I encourage all of you, no matter what place you're in, because I believe all of us in this room are in one of these places. And so if you find yourself in a place of slavery today, where your sin and selfishness have just got you bound up and you don't know how to get out of it, I got some good news today. God doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to lead you out into a new place, into a promised land place of freedom. And I've been anointed by the Spirit of the Lord to proclaim the good news to you today, to proclaim freedom for the captives today in Jesus' name. Jesus is the place, and He's calling you today out of your sinful selfishness. But you got to trust Him. And I'm going to be straight with you. He's not leading you straight to that promised land. He's leading you right into a desert so you can get to know Him, so you can trust Him. And you can trust Him. I want to encourage some of you who may find yourself in the promised land place today. Praise God. I celebrate with you. I rejoice with you today. That dream you had when you were young, you're living it. You are living the dream. That job you hoped you could get, you got it. That person you hoped you could be with, you're with them. That family you hoped you could have, you're sitting next to them in church. That promotion you hoped you could get, you got it. You got the blessing. You're living the dream. And here's my encouragement to you today. Don't forget the purpose of the promised place. You are blessed in order to steward the blessing, to help other people come to know the presence of God. Don't forget your purpose in the promised place. And finally, I want to encourage some of you, maybe most of you, who feel like you're going through a desert place today. And I know how the desert place goes. I haven't just been in one desert season. I've been in three or four of them. And sometimes God sits you down there for a few years. And it can be hard. It can be a struggle. And here's my great encouragement to you today. This is not your destination. You're just passing through. God's taking you somewhere. And here's what you have to know. And here's what I want to remind you of. He didn't lead you out just to leave you now. He that started this good work in you will carry it on to completion. He is with you. He is for you. He is in you. And He's taking you to that promised land. Blessing is coming. Breakthrough is coming. Healing is coming in Jesus' name today. Salvation is coming today. Today's the day. And so I want to encourage you today to stay present, even if you're in the desert place. Don't get caught up looking back on your past. Don't get too caught up trying to figure out the future. You stay present because that's where Jesus is. That's where His presence is. His presence is in the present, even in your desert place. Don't go trying to work yourself out of it because you don't want to end up anywhere that He is not present, and He's present with you in this place. So stay present and stay in His presence. And when the time comes, He will lead you on to that promised place. So when you get up tomorrow morning, you seek the presence, because the presence is your true home. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, for your Holy Spirit that encourages our hearts. God, I thank you for the desert season, because it's there that I learned to love you. It's there that I learned to hear you. It's there that I learned to trust you. It's there that the world lost its hold on me. I thank you for the desert. And I pray for those today who are in one, that you would encourage them, that you would bring them to a place where they could thank you for it as well. God, we just want to be with you. We just want to know you today. And so, God, just continuing in an attitude of prayer, I pray for those who don't know you today. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, if you've never prayed, prayed to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity today, just continuing with every head bowed and every eye closed. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's a commitment, saying for your life, you want to follow Him. You want His ways. You're willing to lay down your way and to follow His way, trusting He's good. He's going to lead you in this life, and ultimately He's going to take you to heaven. Your sin will be forgiven, and He'll put a new heart and a new spirit within you, His very own Holy Spirit. And it starts the moment you confess Christ as Lord. And if you're here today, you've never done that, all you need to do is say out loud with your mouth, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And so if you want to do that today for the first time, here in a second, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And I'll lead you in a short prayer where you can do that. And I'll have every Christian in this room pray out loud with you so that you won't be alone. And so if that's you here today, I just want to ask you right now, just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand. Lift it up high. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see those hands in the back. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Amen. Amen. Those who lifted your hands, just pray with me, and every other believer in Jesus, pray out loud with us today. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Give me your Holy Spirit. Help me live for you all the days of my life. Be my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen.